Welcome to Ryan Rants and Raves, a podcast series by the Quebec Government Office in New York. Bienvenue à Ryan Rants and Raves, une série de podcasts par le gouvernement du Québec à New York.
Today I'm happy to be with an entrepreneur who has a lot of ties to the good old province. I'm with Quinn Rukema. Did I pronounce your last name right, Quinn? I hope I did.
Yeah, there's no right pronunciation, so you know,
okay.
We're good.
So Quinn is a partner at Gloss Ventures, and he is also a great entrepreneur and has a lot of success. And today we'll be talking about beauty and many other things. So Quinn, thanks again for taking the time to be with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Starry, can you tell me a little bit maybe about yourself, how you entered the beauty industry? Because some people might be interested about that.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like a conventional path. So I actually studied physics and business, so absolutely nothing to do with beauty. I had a software startup. After that, I worked in private equity for a little bit downtown. And we had a client that was basically selling home decor products in traditional channels. And then I was basically kind of, you know, we're working on a private equity case for them. But then they were looking to move more product online. And I basically kind of became an interim consultant for them, setting up their online sales. So we're like selling their stuff on One Kings Lane and Fab, and you name it. And then that just kind of escalated. And from there on, we started a kind of a sales agency helping, you know, more traditional brands and vendors sell online. And then from there on, we moved from being an agency to starting our own brands and importing our own products. And then we did that for about 3 years. And then my sister, who's a beauty fanatic, actually, and her name is Zoe Isla, and that's actually our first beauty brand. So she was living in New Zealand at the time. And she had just graduated and she was working there in sales. And I visited her and you know, we were just brainstorming. We went to Fiji. My mom was there too. We went to Fiji and we're just brainstorming about everything that I'm doing. She said, well, why don't we, you know, if you're looking to sell product online, that's repeat purchase and that's small and light and easy to ship, why don't we just do beauty products? I'm like, that's actually a great idea, right? The seasonality is minimal, et cetera. And you know, she definitely schooled me, and we, you know, that brand is still today. We actually still own that brand today, ZoeIsla.com. And yeah, that's really how we kind of roll into it. And then from there, we also had another brand called Smooth Bag, which was like inflatable loungers, which we ended up selling to a German company a couple of years ago. And then, you know, in about 3 years ago, when Gloss Ventures was formed, and I was one of the founding partners, that was really when we, I guess, dove deeply into beauty and really with the mission, like the Gloss Ventures was founded, you know, to be an omni-channel beauty brand incubator and brand lab, if you will, and really focus on beauty and wellness brands. And that's, I think, when we really started focusing heavily. So Zoe Isla is one of the five brands that we run under that and under that portfolio. So that's kind of how it all escalated. And there's so much more to learn, you know, I'm only kind of at the forefront of it, I'd say, in knowledge. I'm fortunate to have really smart people like, you know, former innovation director for ELF, you know, these types of people that are really schooling me on, you know, what formulas look like and why and how and what these ingredients do and whatnot. And it's fascinating. It's really a fun industry.
But what you mentioned, you're very much a first mover in a sense, like because you were bringing brands who are traditionally only to wholesale online. And that's something that's much different in terms of just bringing the imagery, if it's dropship, marketplace, that's a lot of education to give a brand.
Yeah, we actually developed like pretty good systems back then. Like, you know, we still use them today. Like we call it like the back end, which is just this massive Excel spreadsheet. And we just have like, you know, all the exact information that any online retailer could ever need. You can just VLOOK up it into one in their setup sheets, and we have all our imagery organized. Like it's definitely still helpful, very much for all our brands, I would say. So we were able to service like online retailers and, you know, also obviously Amazon and our own websites, but you know, equally well as brick and mortar retailers. So it helps a lot for sure.
Yeah. I still meet companies today that cannot go online because they don't know how to track their inventory. So that, you know, because from their in-store, the wholesale and having it online, they just don't have the manpower to do it. So so congrats to you. And so how was starting the company with your sister then? Because that's very, you know, siblings. I couldn't start a company with my twin brother, unfortunately, but
It's, you know, me and my sister, we were always kind of like best friends, like, you know, or very good friends, at least, you know, in high school and stuff as well. we actually were always kind of like hustling. Like we, I remember at one point we both got expelled from school for like a week because we found a way to like sell late notes, you know, and like, figure out like, you know, we were always running like little sales businesses. And anyways, it, you know, we had that kind of like baked in. And I think, you know, it was good because like, you know, one thing that's tough in business is obviously like you have to partner with people that, you know, unless you want to do it all solo, but you have to partner with people, right? And you have to expose yourself to risk and to whoever, whatever their motivations are. And it's one thing I know for sure with my sister is that she would never screw me and I would never screw her, which is a really good feeling, especially if you're just kind of starting a pretty risky new venture. I mean, obviously we've had our arguments because like there's always like these little things that you still have from being childhood. Like I'm still her big brother, so she kind of needs to always oppose my ideas and vice versa. So, you know, obviously there's politics involved, right? But I mean, I think we navigate around those really nicely. And we're still like now it's a much bigger company. She's still obviously like we're still both owners in Gloss Ventures, which now owns Zoe Isla.
Yeah.
But I mean, and then she's as senior vice president of sales for the company, basically. So she runs a lot of our European sales and kind of our e-retail sales. And she actually is now living in Mexico, so we're definitely we're very remote, so we don't see each other in the office every day anymore, but it's been good.
Yeah, well, she's in warm weather as well, so that's good for her. Not too bad. And I do want to ask you, since you guys have several brands, what are all the brands under your, because I know you have Satchu still, unless I'm mistaken, Satchu's under your portfolio. Yeah. So the Ayla, and then what are the other ones? You mentioned two others as well.
Yeah, so we own another brand called Active Wow, which is an oral care kind of like teeth whitening concept. It's mainly sold in mass in the U.S. and also on Amazon. And we actually recently expanded to Japan, which is somehow killing it for us. It's really interesting. We're like number one on Rakuten and Amazon.jp now. And it's been an interesting move. It's through a distributor partner that we found here in California. And they've been excellent. They're exceeding all our expectations, which is nice. And they're like the lowest key, you know, like they're no fancy office, no nothing. And they're just crushing it. So it's been awesome. So that's our oral care brand. And then we own a brand called Vitamin Bounty, which is a supplement, like kind of wellness and supplement brand, you know, heavy focus on probiotics and digestive health. We also have like sports nutrition under there. Confidentially, well, I can't tell you anything like about the who and what, but that brand is being acquired by a strategic acquisition, like private equity group, in the next couple of weeks. So it's currently in closing. And then we also have the Pursuit Beauty brand. So that's our newest launch. We actually launched that in July of last year. So very new. And it's actually a really cool kind of, so it's pursuitbeauty.com. Our co-founder is actually Alana Blanchard, who's a big professional surfer from Hawaii. She's well known because she was, I don't know if you know the movie Soul Surfer, but like she's basically the.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, so she's the friend of Bethany Hamilton, basically. So she's the one that doesn't get attacked by the shark.
Okay.
But yeah, big professional surfer. Her husband is Jack Freestone, who's like, to this day, probably one of the better surfers out there, definitely top five surfer worldwide. And we really created a cool lifestyle brand with really nice packaging. What we did is we tried to create a very premium kind of white cast free gel based SPF and make that accessible, right? Because all those formulas, and I'm not going to mention any other brands because I'm pretty sure that's like a anti advertising thing, but there's a lot of brands that are selling premium SPF and they're killing it at Sephora and they're getting acquired for crazy amounts of money, but their pricing is like 35 and up. But like the problem is that SPF is obviously it's an everyday is essential, right? Even if you're not, if you're anywhere under the equator, kind of like, you know, under the sun, you basically need to wear SPF. That's what all the research is now saying. Right. And a lot of people like have hated doing that because it's so, you know, sticky and smelly and you name it. Like we all know the banana boat. Oh, sorry. I just did it. I just said another brand. we all know, like, you know, you don't want to put in this cheap stuff on your face. You want to have a good formula that actually, you know, has skincare functionality as well. And is really caring for your skin. And what really the white space that we saw is like, let's create a formula of that caliber and let's make it accessible by pricing it below $20, right? So yeah, I mean, every day, more like beautiful SPF you can put on, and you know, it blends in. It's and like I would recommend, you know, it's crazy. I'll send you samples. I use it every day actually personally, which is, you know, it's a new thing for me too, and it's awesome. And it's not just SPF. It's protecting you, but it's really, you know, just an excellent formula, and it has a lot of soothing properties. We launched that last year, and it's right now we're in talks of a very, very large, you know, one of the basically the dream retailer for that brand for a spring 2024 rollout. So we're excited. And it's doing really well on Amazon and stuff as well. So that's kind of our fifth brand. And then we have another brand that's in stealth. So I can't really say too much about it. But it's launching with CVS, and it's with Aerie and American Eagle, and you name it, it's going everywhere. And that's going to be a very interesting mass concept.
And then, so how do you go about identifying and launching these brands? Because, you know, I would say beauty is not much more saturated than fashion. It's, you know, you saw white space, I think, with SPF, because like you mentioned, some of these brands, like if I wear it, you know, this, it's sticky on me and then it gets on my clothes and I just don't want to touch it anymore. It burns my eyes. Yeah. But how else do you find a way to, you know, get attention?
I think in terms of like, you know, it's hard to innovate. And, if you're looking at like products, it's tough to find white space. Our latest innovation is really on price. So we're basically building, it's the best of beauty below $10. So it's like, you know, we're leveraging our supply chain and our, you know, it's pretty vertically integrated, because we're, you know, we co-own a manufacturing facility here in North Hollywood. We have our own warehouse there. We also have a very, very, the two very good manufacturers in overseas in China, which are, you know, both run by like a Brazilian PhD kind of chemist, beauty doctor. And like, he just crushes it and offers us extremely good formulas for very good pricing. So we leverage our supply chain and our infrastructure to be able to kind of come up with new concepts. And for instance, that last one, like, you know, the best of beauty below $10, that's made possible by that, right? Because we're carving out a lot of the different layers of price costing between, and we're able to offer that type of value to the customer and still retail and you know, be in retail and have wholesale margins and be profitable, et cetera. You know, I think there's no clear cut way. We're always just kind of like creative and thinking about ways. We do look at a lot of data. We also have, I was actually an early investor in this technology. I know you know these guys from Cherrypick AI. I think you spoke to them at some point.
Yes.
They were acquired by another company. They kind of pivoted the technology from there, and now it just came out of stealth. It's called Dash, two A's, and you know, you're basically able to kind of see like retail data. You can see what categories and attributes are selling and are trending, and you know, so there's a lot of different data points that you can kind of overlay. And then I think another interesting thing that we're using now is like, there's, you know, obviously the word AI is pretty cool right now. It's pretty hot. There's a really cool AI that we use for product development that basically analyzes. So you can say like, okay, I want to look at these 10 products. Tell me, like, aggregate the data for me across the web on what the customer response is for this product, right? Mm-hmm. So you can actually see. It'll take the reviews from Ulta.com, from Amazon, from Walmart, from whatever different platform they can find it. They'll aggregate all the data, and they obviously it's all machine learning. So, and then they'll say like, okay, look, the most common complaint is this. The second most is this. This is the most suggested feature. Yeah. This is that. So it actually tells you like, hey, look, if you were to do something in that direction, in that category, you take like the 10 best products, like the 10 most best-selling products in that category, and you say, tell me what the web thinks is wrong with it, right? That's a pretty interesting way to do product development and to do brand development.
Oh, I think that's a great way, because you're actually seeing the need. Because when someone complains, they're actually that frustrated about it. It is a 1-star review or a 2-star review. So you fill that need. Oh, that's,
exactly.
That's a good way of technology.
There's a little bit of data behind it. We're not just doing random stuff.
No. I mean, that's why I think a lot of people fail, because they think it's cool themselves and they're not doing data. And I think that's why also buyers fail too, because sometimes buyers are like, I like it. And then the sell through sucks because they're not solving what their client is actually looking for. So, there's, I do want to mention, because I know, I think Satchu, you launched that with an influencer as well. So why are influencers important in driving attention and moving product?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, the with Sarah Chung, for instance, with Sarah Sashu, I think she was like, first of all, her history is very rich, and like, she's had a lot of different experiences culturally also by living in different areas, right? So she grew up in Hong Kong, then she lived in Dallas, then she lived in New York, then she lives in Toronto. And she's basically seen kind of like all these traditional products that her family was using back in Asia. And then she's kind of seen it blow over. Obviously, we have a big Asian community also in the Western world now, right? In Canada and US. And, you know, from there on, she kind of leveraged that knowledge to become like this kind of the source of truth, if you will, like the gatekeeper on Instagram and YouTube, and developed a really clear, you know, like really good, robust audience and community. And people come to her and say, hey, look, you know, you tell me the truth and beauty, and I love it, right? And you're genuine. You're for real. You're not just like the Kardashians, like getting paid $1 million to like plug a deodorant in your photo, right? So we actually met her, and you know, there was just an instant click. And the reason that we wanted to work with her, because like it was that genuine aspect. And I think with Shashu, what we're doing is we're basically kind of like a first of its kind, like TikTok generation, you know, beauty innovator, right? Like we're beauty hackers, if you will, right? Like we're coming off of all these new innovations. The lip liner, which is now patent pending, is very interesting that we just launched in March, and it just completely exploded and went viral. But you know, Sarah Chung came up with that product. Like she came up with this hack where she basically used like a brow, a brow tattoo.
Pen,
and she combined it with like a lip liner, and then she figured out that it created like a little layer that then actually created a perfect lip smudge, right? And she went viral with that last year on TikTok. And then we just said, okay, well, let's make this a thing. Let's make this product. And now we have a patent pending, and it's actually going chain-wide at Ulta this year. And it's incredible, you know? But yeah, that's why we wanted to work with her, because not only does she have a very trusted community and like she builds, like brings a lot of credibility. She's also just a genius, right? She's a beauty genius, if you will. So, and it fits perfectly with the brand. That's why we built the whole brand. The brand is basically like, you know, we're all about hacking beauty and coming up with innovative ways to improve your beauty routine. And I think that's, you know, it's perfect. And then, you know, I think what's also important is like, you know, and to full transparency, like we're not just depending on her. Our strategy is very heavily on like UGC and marketing masses to endorse our, not endorse our products, but like to like create content with them, play with them, show the world how they use their products, and be genuine, right? If you don't like it, tell them too. We don't care. Like we want it to be real. But I think we've done a very good job of kind of automating that flow of like right now we work with a software called Bounty.co actually, which incorporates like basically a post-purchase flow and we've just implemented it for retail as well. But for online, you know, where basically after you place your order, you know, like you get, and you get your products, you're basically forwarded to their app, and you can click a link, and basically you can create content, post on your socials, and you get paid for how well it performs, right? So how many views, right? But I think the combination of that, and then with Sarah Chung, like that's like, you know, she obviously, like everybody kind of wants to be affiliated with her. So I think that those two work hand in hand, because the smaller creator wants to like be associated with Sarah Chung and learn from Sarah Chung, and you know, it works in perfect harmony, I would say.
Well, I think you've cracked down that you have the creators who are authentic, you know, and they're not just doing it for the quick buck to leave, so that they have they have the communities.
It needs to be authentic, otherwise it doesn't work. Like, no. That was like really cool 5 years ago, right? Here in LA, like everybody just started their own skincare brand, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah, and many of them are probably no longer around, so. Now, I do want, you know, since you guys, you know, like have made a good amount of acquisitions, so why is that your guys' strategy? Why is that a good strategy to grow your other brands on your portfolio?
It's all like a little bit strategic. So like we basically wanted to just like, as we knew those teams really well, like I was a co-owner in Zoe Allen before. And then our other co-founder was co-owner in Vitamin Bounty Activewell. And basically what we did is we kind of bought out the partners in those brands and merged them, like kind of rolled them up under the holding, under Gloss Ventures. One of the main reasons for that was because we wanted to bring all those amazing people that we've been working with like for like years prior under the same roof, right? And combine them all and basically create like an omni-channel machine, right? Because we're, you know, we have like that Amazon, Shopify and retail expertise all under the same roof. And we're in a very robust kind of ops and logistics and supply chain and whatever team, right? Like we can crush it all in house without having to like, you know, obviously you have to like, we have to blend the people, but I mean, you didn't have to start from scratch because you know how hard it is to build a team. That's the hardest thing about building a business, right? And finding people and getting them to click and getting them into the groove. And so I think that was really one of the main reasons for doing that.
Yeah. And it's to scale because you have the existing distribution with others so that it grows that as well. And now I do want to talk about, you know, because Quebec, you know, pays my girl's salary and it's, you know, this podcast is by Quebec. So can you say anything about Quebec or Montreal, you know, since you have been in the province before and you have ties there?
Yeah, I actually lived there for 10 years. Well, first of all, I love Montreal. It's one of the best cities in the world, I would say. I miss it, but I'm in LA now. So like, you know, at least I realize that winter is optional and I just kind of, you know, had to make the move. But yeah, like I love Montreal, obviously. And I think, you know, you and the Quebec team that we're dealing with also here in LA, it's just been extremely helpful and powerful for us. And, you know, we're very, very thankful. Like you guys have made a lot of great introductions. And I think it's a very harmonious relationship where we're just kind of helping and, you know, where we can help, we help you guys and vice versa. Right. So it's been really good. And to this day, I mean, our head office is still in Montreal, right? So the core team actually sits, we're right on St. Catherine, above where the old Red Sox store used to be. And it's a beautiful, beautiful place to obviously have a team. And, you know, we get fantastic talent from all the universities. And, you know, there's also like a great, obviously, like wave of immigration of really talented people. And we have a very diverse team, I would say, like from many different nationalities. And yeah, I mean, it's been great. And we plan to keep our head office there forever, essentially. And
that's good. And, thank you.
yeah, for sure.
No, I mean, we're happy. I mean, you know, like to help companies like you, entrepreneurs. And, you know, we tell companies, you know, it's all your taxes, you know, your taxes let me do the job I love. So that's like a trade off. So, you know, I can't complain about that. So you could think of our smiling faces every time you pay taxes. So
I will.
But you know, also like the name of the podcast is Rants and Raves. Do you want anything that you want to rant or rave about? We don't have to say anything negative, but is there something exciting coming up for you? I mean, I know you guys are growing your businesses, but anything else to say?
I think one of the things that works so basically what I said earlier about TikTok, right? Like everybody's been trying to crack it. I think the way to crack it is, you know, there's two things that we learned. One of them is you can't crack it if it's not an exciting product. It has to be visual, like, you know, show and tell. Like you have to be able to visually market it. Our social lip liner, for instance, is a great example. The other thing is obviously like creating genuine content, because this new generation that people are trying to market to, they literally filter through they cut through the crap, if you will, like instantly, right? Like if it's not genuine, they'll know, and they don't like it. They don't like corporations. They don't like corporate. They don't like this. They don't like that. It has to be as genuine as it can possibly be. So those, I think, are two big takeaways. And I think what's exciting now, I mean, what we're super excited about is actually we launched yesterday on TikTok Shop with Shishu. So we're in their pilot program. And I think it's going to be huge. I think that, you know, the future of commerce will, you know, definitely be, it's kind of like, it's similar to like the Flip. I don't know if you guys know Flip, the shopping app.
Okay, I'll look into
like
it.
It's like a beauty retailer where they have creators just creating content. And TikTok is basically becoming like this. I think, you know, our website, if you go to sashu.com, is becoming, we call it TikTokified. So it's just like a bunch of like live videos everywhere. And like it's becoming like a chaotic storm of content that's just around you. And I think that's the future. And I think, you know, TikTok Shop's going to be big. And I'm happy to keep in touch and show you, let you know how it's going, but it's, we're excited. I think that's one of our big focus points for the coming years to really build it up. And it translates to everything because, you know, it trickles down to Amazon, it trickles down to retail, it builds brand awareness. And, you know, a lot of people that don't buy, end up buying on TikTok Shop or your website will buy on Amazon and or in store.
Yeah, I mean, I think TikTok is the new Instagram. It's where Facebook's lucky they bought Instagram, but you know, where I had the Facebook when I was in high school, and then all of a sudden college, Facebook, now only people use Facebook are my, is my mom. So, and I think it's the same thing with TikTok, even though I don't have TikTok, but I'm becoming my mom. So that's the sad thing, but no, TikTok is a new thing. So.
It's huge. It's really big for commerce, and I advise anybody to get on it ASAP.
And I guess the last thing to close, I always ask other entrepreneurs, you know, because you have success in, you know, creating companies, selling them. What advice do you have to other entrepreneurs at any level or anyone in the industry? We could say, other than getting on TikTok, as we mentioned.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I always have this like kind of silly analogy, but it's like, imagine like a 10,000 piece puzzle, like, and you start doing it and you just get fed up, but you know that if you would just keep your head down and just keep plugging away, you're eventually going to solve that puzzle. I mean, that's basically entrepreneurship, right? Like starting businesses, and it's ups and downs all the time. Like as you've heard a million times, and it's really true. And the ups are usually, you know, followed by big downs, and it's just like an emotional roller coaster, but it's definitely worth the risk reward, you know, in the end, it's just so rewarding. But yeah, it's all about being resilient. Just keep your head down and stay focused. Find really good people, you know, that you trust and that you can, that will that trust in you. And never give up. Just keep stay in the game. Stay in the game, and you'll find success.
Well, I think that's good advice. So I appreciate that, Quinn. Well, merci encore. You know, I'm happy that we were able to chat. And then, well, hopefully you come to New York soon, or I'll come to LA.
I will. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Merci d'avoir écouté Ryan's Rants and Raves. Suivez-nous sur Instagram at Ryan's Rants and Raves. Thank you for listening to Ryan's Rants and Raves. Follow us on Instagram at Ryan's Rants and Raves. À très bientôt.